The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On The Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Now, I don't want to be a Grinch, but around this time, when you've heard certain holiday songs for, I don't know, the 100th time, you get a little cranky. So a few years ago, we invited a musical hero of mine to come join us in the studio to shake things up. That hero would be a man named Kirk Douglas, who professionally goes by the name Captain Kirk. He's the lead guitarist of The Roots. Living life in these cold streets. Hey, who's worrying about you, babe, when you wildin' out? These days, The Roots are really well known as the house band for Jimmy Fallon's Tonight Show, but for hip-hop fans, The Roots have been one of the most innovative and hard-working acts in the genre for a very long time. Kirk Douglas is a key part of the band's signature hybrid of soul, jazz, funk, and rock. And I thought he would be the ideal person to put a new spin on some very traditional holiday tunes.
It's that time of year. We hear the familiar songs over and over. You're walking through a department store. Yeah. You're in the backseat of a cab. You're overhearing somebody else's headphones on the subway, whatever it is. Now, this isn't a matter of stump the stars, but I want to ask you, is there something you can play us a kind of standard in your own way so that we'll love it again? Should we give it a shot?
I've never really sat and tried to do this, so... I never tried that before. Okay, that wasn't
that
as
was
bad as I thought it was going
to be. That was off the top of your head.
Yeah. I think it's going to go downhill from here.
I don't think so. Do you give yourself a new guitar for Christmas? Or are you guitared out?
Wow.
No guitar.
Is this a therapy out. Session yeah. or an interview? I'm this week... At this time, I'm going through a bass thing because I'm starting to do home recording and I realize I don't have a bass. And then I feel entitled to get a bass, but I also realize there's different bass sounds you could go for.
And the next thing you know, you have four new cases in the house.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what I'm going. So there's going to be a Christmas bass. All right. Yeah.
I'm glad to hear it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
are a remarkable musician, and one of the things that's so remarkable about you is your versatility. And I wanted to get a sense of what you were listening to growing up on Long Island, right?
Mm-hmm. You know, when I had no control over the music around me, and it was all my parents, it was classical music on Sundays and a lot of reggae, a lot of soul, old soul, a lot of crooners, you know, Johnny Mathis, a lot of ska. You know, my parents loved to throw parties, so there'd always be a lot of, you know, Jamaican party music, which a lot of times was calypso and but, you know, my dad, he'd be playing music till late in the night, and he'd play, you know, old funk, you know, like Simone.
Sounds like you had the hippest parents in world history. Musically, at least.
Yeah. I mean, but he had, you know, my dad liked a lot of stuff, you know, that I didn't, you know, at the time appreciate, you know, and I only started to appreciate later.
Your parents wanted you to be a classical musician. They wanted you to go in that direction. Is
that
right?
They would have liked that. But the thing that attracted me to the guitar was the mystique of it, with, you know, seeing Kiss, you know, and when I was at a young age. And
so you wanted the whole notion of a guitar superhero appealed to you as well as the music.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. Kiss sort of embodied like the music, and they matched the visual with the music, and they had these, you know, magical, almost like talisman with their instruments that they were able to, like, conjure these sounds with. And they looked cool. It was like they looked, you know, a guitar sort of looks like a combination of a spaceship and a surfboard and a car all rolled into one. It comes in different colors. So it's no mistake that, you know, you have magazines that have cars and guitars in the same magazine or the same book, you know. They can be shapely too. You know, it's a very attractive instrument.
So what's the first time you picked up a guitar and made a sound out of it that resembled music that made you think, this could be my life?
There was the attraction I spoke of, and just walking past a music store and seeing them in the window and just wanting to just hold one, just to touch one. And the first time that I got to hold or touch one, I guess it was in fifth grade.
Sounds like an erotic attachment.
Yeah, I'm holding on to it now.
You are indeed.
Yeah, maybe I should put it down. Maybe I'll be able to speak more coherently.
Who were your guitar gods at that time when you were learning and coming up?
Eddie Van Halen, you know, Def Leppard was coming out at the time. Yeah, it's sometimes a little embarrassing because, like, you know, for Roots fans, you know, they'd probably want to hear something a little deeper than that.
You think people don't want to hear about white metal bands? it confuses people?
I think there can be some confusion. And I get, you know, sometimes I get flack for it at times from my some of my bandmates, but it's just, you know, I was a product of my surroundings.
Now, when you started with the Roots, they were still a very hard traveling band, right?
Yeah. I mean,
just a lot of bus, a lot of van, a lot of
250 dates a year.
So it's almost like B.B. King level touring.
Yeah. Is that when they refer to themselves as the hardest working band in show business, it was not an exaggeration.
So now you have this gig that probably is a lot better for the stability of life. You're in New York all the time on the Fallon show,
mm-hmm.
on the Tonight Show. How did that change things? And did it change the band in any significant way?
Well, I think the band was moving in a direction that would give us the aptitude to hang in that situation, because I think even before we'd started doing the Tonight Show, I think we already did a night of 100 stars. I'm pretty sure that we did that first.
Now, you had an experience with Prince. I think that he borrowed your guitar.
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
Oh, that's this guitar.
We're sitting in a studio with a white Epiphone.
Yeah, it's a 1961 Epiphone Crestwood guitar. So he came in to play. This is what before the Tonight Show was the Tonight Show. This is when it was still Late Night with Jimmy Fallon. He came in with his band, and apparently he arrived before his guitar did. So he looked at my gaggle of guitars, and he saw this one, which, you know, he could have been attracted to the purple strap on it, but it's a beautiful sounding playing guitar. And right before the show started, our music booker at the time, Jonathan Cohen, came up to me. He's like, Prince wants to use your guitar for the performance, and he wants to buy it from you. He wants to buy the guitar from you, and he wants to use it for the performance. I said, well, Prince can use it for the performance, but he can't buy it from me. I'm not selling it. I love the guitar. So Prince is doing two songs that night. He plays the first song, I guess one of his new songs. He plays it with his own guitar. And after he finishes the first song, he comes over to me. He's like, yo, let me see that other guitar. And so like a Prince fan, I say, yeah, sure. And I offer it to him. I give it to him. And he goes and he plays an incendiary version of Bambi from, I think, one of his earlier albums. Did an incredible version of it. And then at the end of the song, he picks the guitar up, and I thought he was going to play behind his head, actually. And then he tosses it into the air and towards no one.
No guitar tech is waiting to catch it.
No.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. And I was so excited watching him play that. You know, I was like, I couldn't believe it. And then when he threw it, I just the feeling, it just felt like instantaneous emotional abuse. That's just what it felt like. Wow,
where did it land?
It landed on the ground. Like, it fell like on a monitor, and it just strutted off the stage. And
did you have words after?
Yeah. I went, you know, they came up to me. I was like, Prince wants to talk to you. I was like, oh, really? I'd like to talk to Prince, you know? And so I had, you know, I had the guitar in like a couple pieces, you know, going towards the...
Did it break?
It broke, yeah, totally.
What happened? The neck broke off from the body?
This part.
Oh my God. There's a big crack on the back of the headpiece.
Yeah. But he apologized. He's like, I'm sorry. And he did say, you know, I'll take care of it. And
but the dough wasn't the thing.
No, it wasn't. So like a Prince fan, I'm like, okay, you broke the guitar. Do you think you could at least sign it? And
did he sign the...
No,
I don't see a signature. What's
he's like, oh, I haven't signed anything since the 70s.
Wow.
In his own eccentric way, he totally did sign it. He didn't use it, signed it with
a
pen.
He sure did. I can see the giant crack behind
it. Yeah.
So, in addition to having two kids that you're very attentive to and rehearsing and touring, you've also got a new solo record that you're working on.
Yeah, I'm doing that. That's sort of my guilty pleasure record. And that's just to exercise the part of me that likes to come up with music. It's your musical journal, if you will.
Is there a song from the new solo album you can tell us about, and maybe we'll play?
Yeah, it's
That'd
a song.
Be great.
It's just a song called Our Year. I think I wrote it on a New Year's Day. Sort of, it's like my own personal Auld Lang Syne.
One, two, three. Here's to the first day. Feels a little strange. I stand in my own. Change. I wish that I could change the moment we all have been waiting for, to finding the keys that unlock the door, removing all doubt so we can be sure. Let's let this year be our year.
That was The Roots' Kirk Douglas back in 2018, and he just released a new solo album last month working under the name 100 Watt Heart. It's called New Unknown.
WNYC Studios is supported by the Natural Resources Defense Council. Using science, the law, and people power, NRDC is committed to confronting the climate crisis, protecting public health, and safeguarding nature. They address the impact of fossil fuels on communities and our environment. They help protect wildlife, public lands, and irreplaceable ecosystems that all living things depend on. They work to enact policies for clean air, clean water, and access to nature for all. You can help NRDC safeguard the Earth for future generations. Visit nrdc.org/WNYC for more information.